Well, it's great to see those of you who are visiting with us tonight. And I know that we are here because of a common cause. I'm talking to you about rallying for causes. And it is a common cause that has led us to be here together tonight. And that is the cause of Christ and the truth that He proclaimed and that He died for. And I want you to please get out an Old Testament and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 19. And there we find, I think, one of the more interesting, and there are several very interesting stories in the Old Testament, but here's a very interesting story recorded in Judges, the 19th chapter. So we're going to be looking at this together. If you have any questions about anything that you hear during the course of the study tonight, then please let me know at the conclusion of the service. You know, our country was outraged by what happened on 9/11 when those Twin Towers were hit. And there was a spirit of patriotism in our country like perhaps we had not seen in a long time. Stores were running out of flags. Republicans and Democrats were as one, at least for a couple of days. But we read in Judges chapter 19 of an event which caused the whole nation of Israel to be outraged. And they rallied together for a common cause. And so we look at the story now in Judges chapter 19. And beginning with verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that a certain Levite, staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim, he took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah." Now, a concubine was looked upon as, in those days, as an inferior wife without all the rights of the other wives. And the law of Moses regulated that relationship. It was never God's intention that man have multiple wives and concubines. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, you have God's original intention, and it is what God wants now and what is acceptable with Him. And that is Genesis 2, 24, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God meant for there to be one man for one woman for one man. But verse 2 says, "His concubine played the harlot against him, and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there 4 whole months. Then her husband arose and went after her, to speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, and he stayed with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and lodged there. Now evidently they enjoyed one another's company. And that third day turned into a fourth day, and the fourth day turned into a fifth day. And then on the fifth day, as you see there in verse 9, then the father of this Levite's concubine said, 'Please spend the night.' But now Judges 19, verse 10, "However, the man was not willing to spend that night. So he rose and departed." So here he is with his concubine, servants, "and they passed by and went their way," verse 14 says. "They passed by and went their way, and the sun went down on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin." Now make a mental note of that. It's important that the city of Gibeah was of the tribe of Benjamin. "They turned aside there to go into lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night. Just then an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who also was from the mountains of Ephraim. He was staying in Gibeah, whereas the men of the place were Benjamites." Now, the outcome of all of that It's found in verse 21. So he, that is the old man, he brought him into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys. And they washed their feet and ate and drank. All right, now let's read now beginning in verse 22 and going through the end of this chapter. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally." They wanted to have relations, sexual relations, with this Levite who was a guest of the old man. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my brethren, I beg you, do not do so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please, but to this man do not do such a vile thing." But the men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master arose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine, fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. Well, she was dead. Verse 28, and he said to her, "Get up and let us be going." But there was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, laid hold of his concubine, and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, "No such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer, and speak up." There are some things in that story we can't wrap our minds around. I just cannot understand, and I don't think you can either, how men in that society could have such a low estimate of women and of sexual purity. And it's hard for us to understand how a father could just give his daughter over to such perverted men. And you know, Lot did the same thing, as you read in Genesis, the 19th chapter. And it's really hard for us to understand how that this Levite could go to sleep that night knowing that his wife, his concubine, was being abused in the street by those perverted men. But you know, aside from all of that, that's hard for us to really understand, we need to consider this question. Why is it that this Levite cut his wife into 12 pieces and sent her body parts throughout the territory of Israel? All right, now I think I know why the answer 12. Why 12? Because of the 12 tribes of Israel. And her body parts were being sent throughout the territory of Israel. I think I understand the significance of the number 12. But why in the world would he then send her body parts throughout the territory of Israel? Here's the answer, I'm convinced. And that is to enrage the nation of Israel against this great abomination, this wickedness that had been committed by the men of Benjamin against this concubine. In fact, here is his own words. The Levite himself said, as you turn to chapter 20 of Judges and verse 6, he said, "So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the territory of the inheritance of Israel, because they, the Benjamites, they committed lewdness and outrage in Israel. And you know it worked, because Israel acted on this matter as one man. As you go up to chapter 20 of Judges, and begin with verse 1. It says, so all the children of Israel, notice all the children of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, as well as from the land of Gilead, and the congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord at Mizpah. And the leaders of all the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. Then the children of Israel said, tell us, how did this wicked deed happen? So the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, my concubine and I went into Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin, to spend the night. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me, but instead they ravished my concubine so that she died. So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the territory of the inheritance of Israel, because they committed lewdness and outrage in Israel. Look, all of you are children of Israel. Give your advice and counsel here and now. So all the people arose as one man, saying, none of us will go to his tent, nor will any turn back to his house. This matter drew a tremendous response on the part of the nation of Israel. And you'll notice their unified efforts. All the people arose as one man. And then you read in verse 11, so all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, united together as one man. There it is again. They were united together as one man. And you know what made their united efforts so remarkable? It's this statement that's made a number of times in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In chapter 18, verse 1, in those days there was no king in Israel. Chapter 19, verse 1, where our story begins. Chapter 19, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. So there was no king in Israel, thus there was no unification of the people. And here every man did what was right in his own eyes. This man did what was right in his own sight. Here's a man, he's doing what's right in his own sight. Another man is doing what's right in his own sight. And there's no unification of the people. However, in this one instance, the people rallied together for a common cause. You know what's neat, and I think, in our nation today, that is an arousal of public indignation against outrageous acts. Like abortion and the murder of millions of babies. Every year in our country, over 1 million babies are murdered. And if that's not an outrage, then I don't know what is. Gross immorality in our country. Homosexuality. Open adultery, teenage sex, and how does our country feel about all of that? An outrage? No. Sin is being glorified while God is being trivialized in our country. And if Israel had a cause for which to fight, then surely the people of God today have a cause for which to fight. You know, there are some things I just don't care a whole lot about one way or another. I don't care what the flavor of the month is at Baskin-Robbins. And I don't care who wins the National Hockey League Championship. As far as I'm concerned, all hockey's good for is it just takes up precious time on SportsCenter. I don't care who wins the National Hockey League Championship. But when it comes to sin and immorality, when it comes to truth and righteousness, as the people of God, we need to care, and we need to care deeply. There should be no apathy among the people of God when it comes to what is decent and right. You know, people have always been drawn together by a common cause. And I don't agree with all of these causes that I'm about to mention. All I'm saying is that people are drawn together by a common cause, whether that cause is good or bad. Whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, the fact of the matter remains, people are drawn together by a common cause. Many of us, those are at least my age, remember the demonstrations against the Vietnam War. Not only that, but there's the ERA. I don't mean earn run average. I mean the Equal Rights Amendment. Women fighting for a common cause. Women promoting women's rights. Here's a cause, right or wrong, it has drawn women together. The NAACP, promoting a cause promoting civil rights. The ACLU, a cause in some cases promoting gay rights. In some cases promoting prisoner rights. And then there's this organization which is even promoting animal rights. Oh, there are all kinds of causes. And I tell you what, you could probably start a cause tonight if you wanted to. And if you want to start a cause, I don't care what that cause might be, in all probability you could get some followers. And there would be people, men and women, perhaps people of all ages, who would be banded together for a common cause, unified in their efforts. Now, what about the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here is Paul in this letter as he's addressing a local congregation, the church at Philippi. He is calling upon them to be united in their efforts. A unified effort, he said. Stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast. That is, hold your ground against the adversaries that are mentioned in Philippians 1 verse 28. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, focus on that last part. Striving together for the faith of the gospel, or the message of the gospel. Notice how that has been variously translated. The New International Version translates striving together for the faith of the gospel, contending as one for the faith of the gospel. The Revised Standard Version translates it striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Beck's translation translates it fighting side by side like one man for the faith of the gospel. But do we care enough to do that? And I'm not talking about now just the people of God in general, or even the Northside Church of Christ, but you as an individual, do you care enough? Do we care enough about truth and morality? To be drawn together and to rise up together as one person, in indignation against immorality and sin, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, I believe that you will continue to grow here. You'll have growth here at Northside and Greenwood if you will not allow yourself to be torn apart by just any little petty thing that comes along. But if you will stand together for certain things and against certain things, you'll continue to grow here at Northside if you'll stand against sin and immorality. And if you'll stand for the remedy for sin, and that is stand together as one for the cause of Christ and His gospel. Looking for opportunities to promote it, to make it known to as many people as you can, to influence as many people as you can with the gospel of Christ, and to defend it against error. Let's just imagine now that the elders of this congregation issue a challenge to you as an individual. Now that is if you are a member of the Northside Church of Christ here in Greenwood. And the elders in issuing this challenge say to you as an individual child of God, here is a cause that we believe in. And it is the cause of Christ and His gospel. And we are wanting a united effort. Can we count you in? Can we count on you as an individual to be just as faithful and just as dedicated as the most faithful and dedicated member of the Northside Church of Christ? Well, could they? Could they count on you? Could they count you in? Or are you characterized by apathy, unconcern, a lack of interest in the things that really matter? When it comes to the cause of Christ, when it comes to promoting the gospel of Christ, that you just don't care enough. And maybe you're like those at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, where the Lord said, you know, you're neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm, you're indifferent. I just ran across this article today. In fact, I just ran across it because I was putting out the thought of the week, which we have there in Springdale, which I emailed to our members. And then I thought, man, this works for this sermon. And it's, you finish the story. That's what this short article is called. You finish the story. There was once a congregation in which every member was just like you. Now, just imagine that. There was this congregation in which every member was just like you. Each one cooperated and supported every phase of the work just like you. Everyone worked as hard and attended the same services and gospel meetings that you did. The elders, deacons, and preachers were all as interested in the church as you are. They put the same emphasis on recreation, business, and other material affairs that you do. Each member contributed just like you do. Within a year or so, the congregation... All right, now there's where you're supposed to finish the story. Within a year or so, the congregation... Well, what happened to that congregation? What would be the state of this congregation a decade from now? Or a year from now? If every member of this congregation was just like you. Are we ready to rally together for a common cause, the greatest cause that there is? What about you as an individual Christian? Can we count you in? You know, there's a word of caution. And that is, it is possible to rally for the wrong cause. Gay rights. To defend that cause, to rally for gay rights, that's to rally or support a cause that is destined for destruction. And if you don't believe me, then just read Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. But you know, going back to the book of Judges, the Benjamites, they rallied together for their brethren who had committed gross immoralities against this Levite's concubine. And to rally together for this cause, it was to support a cause that was destined for destruction. Why do I say that? And I say that because of what's said in Judges chapter 20. In Judges chapter 20, now read with me beginning with verse 11. Judges 20, verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered together against the city, united together as one man. Then the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now therefore, deliver up the men, the perverted men who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. And from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men. All right, now we're going to read about a lot of numbers here. It says that the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who numbered 700 select men. Among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Every one could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All of these were men of war. All right, now what did all these numbers mean anyway? We said that we were going to be reading about a lot of numbers. What did all those numbers mean? In the final analysis, they didn't mean nothing at all. Nothing. Now here's why I say that. Verses 27 and 28. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, as saying, "Shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand." I'm saying that this cause that the Benjamites had rallied for, this cause was doomed because the Lord was against it. "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them." I will deliver the Benjamites, those who had committed this grievous sin in Israel. "I will deliver them into your hand." And since the Lord was against it, then the cause was doomed to fail. Now you see, what we've been reading about in these verses was really tribal loyalty. The men of Benjamin, they were being loyal to their own tribe. But can you see that it was tribal loyalty instead of loyalty to the truth? They weren't fighting for truth. They weren't fighting for a worthy cause. It's just tribal loyalty. It's possible to rally for the wrong cause. What about country loyalty instead of loyalty to the truth? "I will stand with my country, right or wrong," somebody says. What about church loyalty instead of loyalty to the truth? "I will stand with my church, right or wrong. I will stand with my church and its religious traditions, right or wrong." What about family loyalty instead of loyalty to the truth? "I will stand with my family and its religious heritage." Oh, my mom and dad, you see, they were members of this particular religious group. And not only my mom and dad, but my grandma and my granddad and my great-grandma and great-granddad. And on you can go, family tree. And I know my religious heritage, and I'm not leaving that. And I will stand with my country, and I will stand with my family and its religious heritage, right or wrong. Well, how does the Lord feel about all that? Well, now here's the answer. Just listen to the Lord in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Folks, our allegiance to Jesus Christ must be stronger than our loyalty to anybody or anything. But you know, truth and morality are being attacked in our world today. And we need the faith and the courage to fight back. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul knew that he had come to the end of the way. And he said now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Folks, here's a fight that's worth entering. And here's a race that's worth finishing. Jesus Christ died for the greatest cause that there is. Will you live for that cause? Will you live for the cause of Jesus Christ? Advance His gospel. Stand with Him. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 27, Paul said, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So this evening, as we are singing the song of invitation, sometimes we call it a song of encouragement. Will you be encouraged to come and to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I've repented of my sins. And I want to be baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. Would you this evening be baptized into Christ, be clothed with Christ, and from this day forward, until the day that you die, or until the day that the Lord comes again, whichever may be first, take your stand with the Lord. Would you be part of this great cause? Will you join us? Please come while we stand and while we sing.